The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler back with you here, 710 KNUS. Full phone lines. I wish I could say full text lines, but they don't limit us on the text lines. A bunch of texts. I can't get all of them in. Some folks commenting, of course, on Daryl's call from before, asking if this is Alex Jones's bestie. Here is everything will be coming down from now until November. Oh, I think they're talking about interest rates and inflation. Yeah, great point. As they manipulate the economy to try to make it better for the dudes who are running to take over. Here, oh, yep, there's another good text right there from our buddy Corey. Here is some more. Hang on one sec. The truth doesn't seem to matter. I think there will be a significant number of people on both sides of this issue who will not accept the outcome of the investigation. The truth doesn't seem to matter to many. I think you're right. I absolutely think we are at a place in America where it feels like whatever the facts are, you can interpret them as you wish or dismiss them as you want, and it leaves us clinging to the positions we had before we got to the facts. We are in an outcome looking for a justification mode, like perpetually. I don't think that's good for America, but interesting. Before I get to the phone lines here, and Jim, Bob, Terry, you're all next here. There was an announcement that President Trump had gone up to New York to face questioning through a deposition by the Attorney General of the state of New York. That's Letitia James, no friend of the Trumps and nobody's version of fair or conservative. And he came out and said, I refuse to answer the questions, in essence, invoking his Fifth Amendment right. He does not have to incriminate himself. He can't be compelled to do so. And so he refused to answer any questions in the deposition. That's interesting, given some of the characterization of people who do that by this voice right here. Billy? Wow. I think that's Donald Trump. Who it'll be interesting, and I know he'll have an answer. It'll be interesting to see how he explains away those past comments. The fifth, taking the fifth is what the mob does, or words to that effect. It looks like he just did it with Letitia James. Now, this isn't a comment on the Mar-a-Lago thing at all. I just think it is, I don't know, is it hypocritical? I mean, maybe that's a topic for another day, but oh my sweet goodness, man, to have taken the fifth up there, which he's legally entitled to do, don't misunderstand me, and then to come out and say, hey, I've been railroaded thus far. Nothing I could do would make a difference here. They're out to get me, so I'm not going to, you know, give them answers to these questions. All totally legitimate answers. But then to have previously crap-talked those people who have done something similar, it's just tough, man. It's just tough to be able to take such a strong position on A and then flip all the way over to Z when it suits you. Nonetheless, we've got full phone lines. I want to honor those things. 303-696-1971. Jim, what do you think?
Hey, George. I'm not a Republican. I'm taking it you did not listen to last evening's show with Mark Levin on your radio station.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't. I was doing something with the kids. We had some cross-country thing.
So that's exactly what he said. This was nothing to do with the archives. This is a fishing ship expedition, what they're doing. They're trying to find something for January 6th, and this is what they were doing to do that because they have nothing thus far, and they're trying to find something. So I think that's what you're alluding to, and that's exactly what he said.
What do you think about it?
I think that's exactly what's going on, and it sends a chill down my spines, and it also sends to me that we have a political justice department, which we've seen thus far. That's what we're hearing from whistleblowers from the FBI. They have been suppressing what's been going on with Hunter Biden. That's from, I think you've heard about that, Grassley coming up. So I don't trust our justice department at all. I think it's no different than the KGB. I'm just
Whoa, wait. It's a far, far cry from the KGB. Even if you think that there's political motivations and you could argue for some kind of corruption, the KGB disappears people. All right. We're not doing that here. We're not just grabbing up a political person we disagree with, taking them out back and putting a bullet in their head. This is not the KGB.
Well, I'm sorry. You know, maybe that's a little bit.
A lot of it.
But the point of the meter, the point of the matter is we have people that have disappeared in the dungeons in D.C. that have not been even charged. Can you explain how that can happen?
I'm not sure what the mechanism is to get them through the system. I don't know how many of
over
them have
almost 2 years and they've not been charged.
Buddy, I'm giving you an answer here. I don't know where they are in the process. I honestly don't. I know there were 800 people that have been prosecuted. A good number of them so far have been convicted through plea deals. At least one of them has gone to trial. That didn't turn out well. And I don't know what the status of the rest of them are. I really don't. But I'm pretty sure they're not dead somewhere.
I'm pretty certain that, well, my feelings is if they have something against them, they should have been already charged. And if not, they're just sitting in jail. I think that's disgraceful.
Look, if they're pending charges for 2 years, that sounds outrageous and indefensible, if that's what's going on. Because you should be charged, right, Ricky Tick, with the evidence against you, right, or at least be put out on bond pending charges. I could see that too. But to hold someone in custody without charges for a couple years, I can't understand how that's possible under our system.
I think it sends a chill to the average person that says our government can do whatever it wants to us, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, there is stuff we can do about it for sure. I mean, that's why we have a court system. I know they must be part of the deep state. I just don't want to get there yet. I guess the question that I want to leave with you, Jim, is if all of this stuff is a pretext and it's a fishing addition, and I've kind of gotten there, I'm about 99% of the way there, that's what this was about. Does it matter to you if they actually find something? I mean, what if they come up with something and it's like, oh my God, that's the smoking gun. And I don't know that they will, right? But let's say that they do. Will that change your opinion of this?
Not really, because my point of view is what they've done is totally illegal and unethical.
Well, it's not illegal.
You know, well, okay. I guess what's the saying? You found this through ill-gotten gains of going there. I understand it. It's not the right way of doing it.
You might be trying to say fruit of the poisonous tree, but there isn't a poisonous tree so far. Yes. Some future court may say that the warrant shouldn't have been issued and that'll be the end of it. But I doubt that. That doesn't happen all that often.
So here's my opinion of why they're doing this. I believe there is internal data within our federal government, as well as which is the deep state, as well as the Democratic Party, that shows that Trump, if he ran again, could probably win.
Well, hold on. That data would have to be a poll. I mean, so they're sitting on a poll that's causing them to do this?
They're not. I believe that they have internal data through their own mechanism that shows that Trump can win. And you know what I've seen thus far, how I feel about it? I wasn't going to vote for him, but if he runs again, I will, because frankly, I think our federal government is corrupt and needs to be cleaned out from top to bottom. I don't trust our FBI. I don't trust our CIA. George, explain to me, our intel, basically 52 of them or more, came out and said Hunter Biden's laptop. These are our intel. These are the people we trust. Said this was Russian initiated. Explain how they can do this. These guys have information way beyond what, and yet they lied.
I don't know what 52 refers to. I don't know 52 people that lied.
They had, remember when Hunter Biden's laptop came out, they had over 50, and they had all these intel people, and it was over 50, basically, ex-people within the federal government and all this, said this is actually Russian-initiated. Do you not recall that?
I don't recall 52 of anybody coming out and saying this who were part of the investigation. I just don't remember that.
It's in the 50s. It's in the 50s. This was way, and then you had Clapper and all these, Brennan, and all these guys saying this is, they knew it wasn't. They've lied to us repeatedly. I don't trust
them. I get all that, but to suggest that it is every single person in the FBI doesn't make any sense. You can't just attribute the decision making, whether it was politically corrupt or not, to the upper echelon folks. You just can't attribute that to all the other career law enforcement officers that work there. That's not fair.
George, they have the polling is in the federal government and the DOJ. It is overwhelmingly Democratic. I think I've heard in the over 70%. They are more
in the FBI.
What the party tells them. Yeah, I mean FBI.
What?
The Justice Department. They said it. They've got the. That's what I've heard.
I'd be shocked, man. I know a ton of FBI agents. I don't think any of them I would describe as Democrats at all.
Let me tell you this way. When they hire all those IRS agents, I'm pretty certain, I feel comfortable by saying this, most of them will be Democrats.
IRS ain't the FBI, but I do have concerns about
well,
that.
Well, I didn't say that. I'm just saying it sends a cold chill that they're coming off. If they can do this to Trump, and I've heard this before and I agree, if they do this to Trump, anybody is, is equal.
Would you be concerned with an FBI full of Republicans?
No, I want to see our federal government equally divided.
What?
Equal 50-50. I don't want to have
why?
A few, and I don't want to have why?
Yeah.
Because that basically shows that we have people that are looking at it from both angles, not one
wait a
angle.
Minute,
our
two,
federal government
two
is
angles to
Democratic.
Crime solving, two angles to investigation, like
well,
that.
I,
you want quotas for I'm ideology? Sorry.
No, I want to have people looking at it from both angles type of thing, and I think that's not going on. Now it's coming out as we're seeing more often than not. Listen, you know what I thought was Mark Levin said? He says, now he worked for the Justice Department under Ronald Reagan, and he said this. He said, this is presidents take things that need to go back to the archives, and this happens with every administration. Every administration this has gone on for, this is not unique to Trump. And therefore, they have to give things back. So this is not unique for Trump.
I'd like to hear from somebody who can say that definitively and historically. But remember this, too. He took a bunch of stuff. The archivist came and said, hey, can we have it all back? They didn't pursue him for a subpoena or a search warrant at that point. He gave them 15 boxes of stuff, it sounds like. But didn't give them everything. So it's not that they just quickly went to the guns on this issue. It sounds like they gave him an opportunity to give it all back, but there were things that weren't given back. And that's when they started to escalate this thing. So I don't understand the position that, hey, other people have done this. So did he. And they didn't go crush him right after that. Why didn't he turn it all back over? Do you ever ask that? Do you care? Do you care why he hung on to classified information if it's on there?
We really don't know what kind of information you're referring to.
Well, but the search warrant was for the classified stuff. That's what we've been told. So I'm asking you, do you care if he was in possession of classified stuff? Does it matter?
Oh, of course. I've heard this also. He's got more classified information in his brain than what they're looking
for. Yeah, that's not governed by the law. That's not governed by our regulations, okay? So, and I get it. He's got a skiff probably in Mar-a-Lago. And so that's probably mitigating, but it's not exculpating. So if you care that whether or not there's stuff in there, you can't just say this was all in a legal effort. It was 100%. There are parts of this that really do give me pause, but that is not one of them.
I just feel, okay, well, I'll guarantee you, I would love to have seen this done to Clinton. Can you imagine all the information that would be on him and all the shenanigans? Especially, I'd like to see his diary concerning his affair with Monica Lewinsky and maybe so many other people.
Does he have a diary
about that?
I think
we could go down
this
road. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he's got information. You don't know, but the fact of the matter is...
Well, hold on. I can't be part of the conversation that says, you don't know whether he didn't. Like, that can't be the business we're in. If we want to extrapolate off of evidence we know to come to some conclusions or conjecture, I'm happy to do that. But you can't say... There's a diary that exists, but you don't know if it does or doesn't. That how does that help us?
We're talking about an ex-president here. You need to use kid gloves when you're going through this. This was clearly not
I agree with you 100% there. I do.
I think this sends a chill to the average American saying, if they can do this to Trump, just think what they can do to us.
It's not the can thing, and I appreciate the call, Jim. It's what they will do, not what they can do, because they can do a bunch of different things. It's what they will do and the motivation for it. I don't think what's going on with President Trump is something I worry about happening to me. I don't worry about that at all. But that's not why it concerns me. It concerns me because of the unprecedented historic nature of this thing and how it could be used for political purposes. And so, again, you have to leave open the possibility, folks, that they come up with something that's particularly damning. My concern is a lot of listeners out there and some of these texters, it won't matter. They could find the severed head of Jimmy Hoffa in one of those boxes. And some of these people that listen to the show would dismiss it as, well, I mean, you don't know who put the head there. That's not evidence. You don't know. They would find a way to dance around anything. There could be a letter attached to the head, pinned to an ear that says, I, Donald J. Trump, killed Jimmy Hoffa back in 19-whatever. And they said, well, you don't know that. That could have been planned. Come on. At some point, let's leave open the possibility that the guy did something wrong. Right? He's not Jesus. Just a man. Just like anybody else, capable of foibles and mistakes, and my God, we know a ton of them. Now, you can say, I don't care about them, fine, but please let's not then impugn the entire FBI top to bottom because a couple of these wing nuts out there took their political ideology too far in using the FBI against them in the past. That is very concerning. It should never happen again, and they should be held accountable for it. But come on, man. To just simply just throw out there of these 30 agents, well, we don't. They didn't let somebody look because they were slipping things in the boxes. How do you get yourself there? I can't do it. 303-696-1971. As soon as a line opens up, it gets filled. So you're just going to have to keep trying, and I'll tell you when they're open. I want to tell you about a way to make your kitchen or your bathroom super awesome, and that is with an upgraded countertop. Especially if you've made the decision not to buy or sell, you're sticking put because you love your home that you're in. You can upgrade it by calling our friend Mitch Floria at The Art of Granite. Great showroom, conveniently located at 6th Avenue and I think really like I-70 Colfax area out there as you head into Golden. Not quite by that Marine Corps Memorial, you know what I'm talking about if you've been out there, but pretty close to that. The Waze and Google people will get you there, no problem. Mitch can do just about anything with the man-made and God-made stones out there. The granite, the quartz, the marble, fill in the blank. Anything you've seen on, Selling Sunset or some sort of do-it-yourself. Call this guy because Mitch Floria is a wizard, a craftsman, an artisan, and a great businessman. And what's great about his story, we're going to try to get Mitch in here for a longer form interview because I love his backstory. Guy was born in Romania, but he was born an American. I don't know how else to describe it. Came here through the legal means, thank you, Mitch, and became a citizen and has really just crushed it. He and his family have lived the American dream. He puts out this great product for a great price. You can trust this guy. I've got friends that have texted me and say, we've used him. We love him. So here's the deal. If you mention KNUS, you get a bathroom countertop for free. That's right, with the purchase of your fantastic new kitchen countertop, or get a kitchen or bathroom sink for free with the purchase of any countertop package. Now, you can go online, and you should, artofgranite.com, but that's got to be the place to start, not stop. Next thing you got to do is you got to call and talk to Mitch at 303-386-5919. That number rings the phone on his hip, 303-386-5919. But the bestest thing to do is to go out there to that showroom, take a look. You do that. You look around. You meet with Mitch. I'm about 90%, 99% sure that you're going to end up signing up with Mitch and you're going to be thankful that you did. Listen, phone lines are full. Terry, Bob, Jim, all the texts coming in, and some of them are nutty, but I'll read them anyway. Keep them coming. We'll be back right after this. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. Phone lines full. Texts keep coming in. Here's some. Be careful, George. We need a new AG here in Colorado, and John Kellner is your buddy. If you keep saying that we think Trump is Jesus, you insult us. The FBI raid, this beyond reason because the D.C. elite has persecuted Trump from the moment he came to town, came down the escalator. That's true. I agree with all that stuff. But the Trump is Jesus comment is for those folks who have already concluded there's not a thing you can tell me or show me that will ever get me to conclude that Trump is damaged, bad, makes mistakes, That's the Trump is Jesus comment. I can see people being Trump supporters. Hell, I voted for the guy twice. If he showed up on the ballot again with Biden, what other rational decision can there possibly be? But this idea that we've already foreclosed the idea that this warrant might actually reveal damning evidence to the president. Once you get yourself there, you're no longer rationally thinking. You're not logically thinking. You're emotionally thinking. And that is not helpful. That is faith. That isn't, I don't know, it's just not rational thought. Here's something. Those agents were just being told, all caps, what to do, period. Of course, they all didn't know. Someone did, though. The average American doesn't give a crap what happened to Trump. Probably don't even know about it. We got to remember us political talk show listeners are the minority. You know what? That could be true. I think that probably is true, that we're the minority. But I'd like to grow that, by the way, the listenership, to make us the majority. But I do think that most folks don't have any clue about what's going on with some of this stuff and probably don't care. What, and more importantly, who is the deep state? Many of the callers say they. What is GB's definition of the deep state? I don't have a definition because I don't know who the hell the deep state is. I mean, if it's, hey, there's a bureaucracy out there that's self-fulfilling and it has a political bent, and there, okay, I can get that far with you. But is it a star chamber? Is it like the Jedi or something? I don't know who the deep state is. I've heard many people reference it. If you give me a good definition, maybe I sign on to it. I don't know. Suspicion of the government started back from Lois Lerner. Great point. The government has responsibility in this, too. I agree with that part for sure. There's an article with the headline, President of El Salvador, what would America say if I did that? That's interesting. That is really interesting. Let's get back to the phone calls. Folks have been waiting online. I want to give them a chance to say their piece. Terry, you're on the George Show. What do you think, Terry?
Good morning, George. I want to start out and just say that I think we do have a credibility crisis at the DOJ and at the FBI. Let me try and at least build not a case, but a consideration for this. As you look back and you start to see what the FBI has been involved in as well as the DOJ, probably the best example I can give you is the Ghislaine Maxwell case. As you know, the regional director of the FBI came and told the head of the FBI, with the last name of Comey, that they had an incredible case. It was the most evidence that she had ever seen as a regional director for the FBI. Comey said that there was not enough evidence to pursue, and he denied them to move forward with the case. As that occurred, more evidence built. They ended up finally having, as you know, to go after Ghislaine. And guess who the attorney, the prosecuting attorney, was and is for the United States? Do you know who it was?
Back in for the Maxwell case?
Yes.
In the courtroom? No, I don't know who it is.
It was Maureen Comey, age 32, assistant attorney. She was the lead on that, followed by
Alex. Wait a minute. She has the same last name. Is she related?
Yes, it's his daughter.
Okay, and what does that tell you?
That tells me that, as you know, facts never came out. We never heard anything about the Ghislaine Maxwell case, about all the people that she said were involved that went to the island, everybody from Justice Roberts to Bill Clinton. You had made a statement to Jim, the caller. This is not like the KBG. We don't take people to jail and they don't die. Well, I think that Epstein died, if I'm not mistaken. The cameras were off. There was evidence. That's my first case I would like to at least say, consider that the DOJ and the FBI has a problem. Let's go next to our judicial system. Paul Pelosi is being brought up. George, you worked in Arapahoe County. You were the lead district attorney or regional, and I'm not familiar with the jargon of your position, but you were a great prosecutor, and I have tremendous respect for you. Paul Pelosi gets arrested on a DUI. They found drugs in his body. They waited 2 hours and 15 minutes to take the blood test. The judge that was in charge of the case resigns on August the 2nd and is replaced by a judge. Her name is Monique Langhorn, was with the Napa County DA's office. This is called deck stacking. We are not.
That's local, though, right? I mean, I get that you're using it as an example of how the corruption system can impact the justice. I get that, but that's local. Okay. That has nothing to do with the D.C.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right about that, but then let's go to equal justice under the law. We had a attorney general by the name of Eric Holder. He pursued a case of Fast and Furious.
I remember that.
He was subpoenaed by the federal government, no different than Steve Bannon or Roger Stone. He did not show. He was never found in contempt of Congress, but they both were. And guess what? They're both probably going to do time in jail. Do you consider that equal justice under the law?
Well, compared to who else did the same thing that got held accountable?
People have negated subpoenas to the courts, and they have never been brought up on charges until Trump's people did it under the auspice of executive privilege.
Yeah.
Eric Holder did it under the auspice of executive privilege, and Attorney General didn't show in Fast and Furious. Many people were killed. They died because of that. And he never was even brought in front of Congress to testify, and they never pressed
charges.
Well,
and the media certainly didn't cover it the way they cover all the stuff with Trump. There's no doubt about it in terms of a double standard with the mainstream media. And maybe even this is the source then of a lot of this skepticism about the Department of Justice. I understand that. I get that. That doesn't change the fact that this thing that just took place 2 days ago could be legitimate in this way. They could come up with some, I don't know what it is, man, a smoking gun piece of evidence. And Terry, if they did that, would that change your opinion about the process? It doesn't change what happened in the past. It doesn't change those things that make it look like there's a double standard for D's and R's. Are they? But would that change your opinion about what took place at Mar-a-Lago?
George, I don't have a foregone conclusion. Show me the facts. They won't even tell me why they went in there. They will not even come out and speak to the American public. Let's go back.
Well, that's not that unusual when you have an ongoing investigation. But I said earlier in the show, I get that they have a normal protocol, but I think because this is so unique and they've treated it so unique, they should abandon that protocol and they should come to the American people, and A.G. Garland and Chris Wray should come forward and at least say, this is why we took this approach. We took this approach because we'd been negotiating with this guy for more than 6 months to give us back the documents. They were dragging their feet. They were wringing their hands. They were delay. So we took action. Okay. I'd want to hear that. But we haven't heard that. So you and I try to fill in the gaps, and it's not with anything good.
That's exactly right, and this is why they have a credibility problem. And this is why people are up in arms and why they're so fed up with what is going on, because it does seem like deck stacking constantly. It's not one case. It's multiple cases all the time.
I don't want that to foreclose the possibility, though. Two things. One, if he was in possession of classified information and he shouldn't have been, it's a crime. It's not a go-to-prison crime. It's probably not an even you should have executed a search warrant on his house crime, but it's a crime, and I don't want to diminish that. However, if there's something more, if they come, and it is a fishing expedition, I believe that. I believe this is pretextual, and it's intended to try to give them access to things that they think are going to lead to bigger stuff. If it does, then what? Then what do we say?
Well, I think that you let it play out, and I think that we have to see, is it prosecutable? Is it something that they have their facts, as opposed to what we saw in the Kavanaugh case, as opposed to what we have seen by so many of the cases, the Russian collusion that your last caller or two callers ago, Jim, made the statement about 52 people testifying that the Russian collusion case was justified and that they felt that it was accurate and that this was something that was not being or that it was legitimate. The people that testified, there were 52 people. John Brennan is one. Clapper is another. Gates is a third. These people all came out and testified that this was not Russian disinformation, that they felt with the information that they had that it was a legitimate case. Come on. We all knew. And when I say this, all you had to do is research a little bit to see that where they got the documents, where it came from, where they were written. This was ridiculous, and this is why people are apprehensive and why the FBI and why the DOJ
this
is
the risk then, because all of that stuff existed before Monday. This is the risk. If this is all going to result in a big nothing burger, it is an additional and maybe a definitive blow to the integrity of the DOJ and the FBI, because this better be big, because they've treated it like it's big. It's unprecedented. It's historic. It's against a former head of state who may ultimately run again to be that head of state. They better be right. This may be the best example of, if you come for the king, you better kill the king, right? Like, this is it. And if you don't do that, then I think
I don't understand.
I think you're right. I think people would be like, okay, I've had enough.
I sit back and I look at Richard Nixon. they had multiple people that testified that he had tapes, that he basically orchestrated or at least approved the break-in at Watergate. And the FBI didn't go in. They didn't go into those people's houses. They didn't go into the presidency and go after the tapes. As you said, when you say it's unprecedented, I don't think many of the American people understand. Never in the history of the United States have they gone to a head of state or an ex-head of state and done what they've done. Never.
That's right.
Maybe you're wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can tell me that.
No, I can't think of a single instance, and everyone I've heard talk about it. Obviously, the FBI hasn't been around forever, but certainly some version of the Department of Justice has, and I don't ever remember this thing happening. Terry, great call. We've had some great text responding. I'm sorry I wanted to get to a couple other callers and let some folks in your line. 303-696-1971. Hey, it's that time of year again where we start thinking about putting a little bit of money away for the big holidays, the big anniversaries, the big birthdays. And one of the things that you should be contemplating doing is finding a way to take some piece of jewelry that you have. It could be an heirloom. It could be something that's just special to you, and getting it cleaned up and fixed up. And maybe you're getting ready to hand it off, or maybe you're just getting ready to wear it. Or maybe, and this would be super cool, you try to come up with some custom piece of jewelry. No one's ever seen it before. No one's got anything else like it. The place to go for that are our friends at Littleton Fine Jewelry. Jesse and his team, fantastic long-term employees. They, I think almost every single one of them grew up in the area. That's what I discovered when I did my own little investigation of Littleton Jewelry. And it came out aces. These guys are conveniently located just south of Hudson Gardens on that west side of Santa Fe. That's 85. And getting there going northbound only requires you to do the simplest of legal U-turns right across from ACC at Hudson Gardens. Get down there, go in, say hi to Jesse and his team. And I'll tell you what, they're 710 listeners, which is super awesome. Tell them I said hi too. These folks took a watch repair business, Jesse did, and they've taken it and added on a billion other things that you want. And that is someone who can evaluate gold, jewelry. They sell and buy gold and silver and platinum. And I don't know what else there is. Titanium, is that even a thing? I don't know. Jewelry, jewels. The watch repair thing I know is legit because they fixed my watch. They did it quickly. They did it really without very much pain for me at all. It was done so fast, I had to leave it there done for a couple days. I couldn't get over there in time. But that's how great they are. Go by and see them. You can look them up at littletonfinejewelry.com, littletonfinejewelry.com. But the best thing to do is to go drive out there and see them. Once you get past Hudson Garden southbound, you turn right at the jewelry repair sign. Go in and say hi. Tell them George sent you. Look, when we come back, I want to get to the rest of these callers here. Bob, Jim, Tracy, everybody else. And I'll get the text read, too, as best as I can. George Brockler on The George Show at 710 KNUS. Little harmonica and George right here on 710 KNUS. Getting right back to our red hot phone lines. Bob, you're on 710. What do you think?
Hey, George, can I ask you two questions?
One on the judge that issued the warrant, and the other one is on the confidentiality declassification process.
Sure.
So I'm reading on the judge that judge that issued the warrant 8 weeks earlier recused himself from the Trump versus Clinton suit based on a conflict of interest.
Okay.
Would that concern you at all?
Concern me regarding the issuance of the signing off on the issuance of a search warrant? I guess it depends on what the basis of the conflict was. I don't know the answer. If it was, hey, I was a big Clinton supporter, then I get why they would beg off of a case involving Clinton as a party. But that doesn't mean that they couldn't be fair in terms of evaluating whether there was probable cause for a search warrant.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, I didn't know whether that would be of concern.
No, I'd love to know more. I for sure would love to know more. We very rarely get to know why there was a conflict involved. I wish that we'd know more of that stuff, but we rarely get to know that.
Yeah, and evidently he has a background in the Epstein case also, but I'm not real clear on that, so I'm not going to bring it up.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me go to declassification.
Sure.
Is there my understanding, presidents can declassify
absolutely
records,
a right? Broad authority to do it.
And so now, don't take this as something I know. This is just an open question. Is it possible that Trump declassified documents and kept them because he was worried about you know, he wanted to be able to use them later.
I suppose anything's possible, but it doesn't sound like that's what took place here. And that is because the process of declassification, even though the president has broad authority to do it, isn't just a de facto or fait accompli because the president decides to take a bunch of classified documents out of the White House. That can't turn it into unclassified material. And here's the other downside. Even if that were true, which it is not, there's a procedure for this, and he can decide it, but I don't think he can just all of a sudden, oh, did I accidentally take these home? That means they're declassified. Because what that means is they're subject to FOIA. That means they're subject to you and me getting them. That means the bad guys can get them. And so I just can't imagine that that's the argument that he's going to advance, is that, oh, I had de facto declassified these when I took them out of the White House without going through the normal process. I just don't see that.
Yeah, well, you've answered my question. So I was just curious when I realized the president could declassify.
No, and they've got broad authority to do it. In fact, Bob, thanks for the call. Billy and I were having this debate, man, on the 5 o'clock hour, and that was, does he violate some of the rules about declassification by not going through the specific procedure? And I'm not sure about that. I don't think he can just de facto do it. And he hasn't claimed that, right? He hasn't said that. He hasn't said that he didn't possess them. And it would make it tough if there was some congressional limitation on him being able to declassify when he has a ton of authority to do it. I just don't know the answer to that. Here's what I do know the answer to, and that is, how to make your home stand out compared to the homes around you. I was driving through our neighborhood two nights ago, and I was driving around with the kids, and we were coming back, and I took a different route that takes us all the way through the bottom of the neighborhood, which is the newest part. And all the houses that have fantastic lighting that kind of show up, you know, they light the walls and stuff, and some of them the trees, some of them even the under part of the roof. And I just remember driving, it's eye-catching one, but I think, man, that just looks like a classier house. It looks like a neater house. And you've all been to homes where you've gone inside and you've seen what someone has done with lighting, and you think, that is really slick. That really makes it look neat. The place you go to get all that done, Urban Lights. Urban Lights has Colorado's largest locally owned lighting showroom, and it's an award-winning showroom. It won National Lighting Showroom of the Year. That's pretty awesome, and it's largely because they have 20,000 square feet of lighting, ceiling fan, and other home decor stuff going on in there, as well as their very friendly experts that work there. It's one of those places where, yep, you can go to urbanlightsdenver.com, and I have and I will, but you need to do what I'm planning on doing, and that is heading out to that 20,000 square foot showroom. And you need to go see them and check out everything they have. And I'm telling you, the ideas that flow from just driving by the houses in my neighborhood, I got a ton of questions. I know their friendly lighting experts are ready to answer all of them, yours as well. They're conveniently located just south of I-25 on Santa Fe between Florida and Mississippi, open 7 days a week. You can shop online. You can shop on site. Go check these folks out at Urban Lights. 303-696-1971 is the line. Jim, you've been on hold. Thanks for doing that, sir. What are your thoughts?
Yes. Earlier in the show, you inquired of someone what it would take to get them to not support Trump. And as right. I pointed out to Billy, I'll give you my reasons for that. I would sure. not support Trump if whatever the FBI pulled out of there showed that he had evidence that his son Eric was doing cocaine, oh. soliciting prostitutes.
you're going Biden on us.
living off of his name
yeah.
and trading on it.
Yeah, that sounds very Hunter Biden-y, and I don't think by accident. That sounds very Hunter Biden-y.
Well, perhaps they'll find some that Eric did that, won't they?
I suppose.
I agree with Terrence. They could find anything they want in there.
Well, I suppose they could, but when you say that, do you say that because you think it could exist or because you think it was planted?
I think it could. You mean that they would find evidence that Eric did what I mentioned?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that obviously was hyperbole.
Of course.
Number one, there is no evidence of that, and there shouldn't be. Number two, and I guess what you're leading to, is if they did find evidence, should he be prosecuted? Well, it would depend on what that evidence is and how it was found. You're the attorney, and you've, I'm sure, had evidence thrown out of court many times with whatever you objected to for legal
yeah,
reasons.
I hate to say many, but it's not unusual to have certain evidence in certain cases suppressed for one reason or another. And you hate when it happens when it's an obvious mistake. Other times it's a court interpreting a situation and applying the law to it in a way that sometimes we haven't seen before, or they're extrapolating from some other cases. But when it's done and it's just careless mistake and that happens, you get bummed because I lose, right? Like, I don't have the evidence anymore to prosecute. So this particular thing, my best guess is most scrutiny of the approval of search warrants, the finding of probable cause, the vast majority of them pass muster when they're appealed. That doesn't bother me. The part that bothers me, Jim, is that this could all be used, even if it's technically and legally correct, not because they give a crap about the classified information, but because they are out there fishing. It's a pretextual search for something else. That something else better be freaking huge, don't you think? And whether it's the Eric Trump drug, it's got to be freaking huge. Otherwise, I think there's a good number of people who are going to feel like, oh, my God, the system is broken, politicized, and corrupt. I don't want to believe that. I know there's aspects of it. But this would cause, I think, a great number of Americans to be like, that's it. I'm done with the FBI. I'm done with the DOJ.
Well, I think that that Rubicon has already been crossed. And as you say, with regard to the FBI, the thousands of agents who are good men and want to serve their country. But the FBI is a quasi-military organization, in my mind. And consequently, they take their marching orders. And you're the field officer, you're the one who gives those orders, and they follow them to the letter according as to what you would want done. Is that correct?
When they're lawful, yeah. But like if I went My Lai Massacre and ordered troops to open fire on the innocent or unarmed or whatever, the expectation is they do not follow those orders, and they can't find any protection in following those orders. But in this case, these FBI agents aren't doing anything wrong. Even a pretextual search may be a lawful search, and they have no grounds to say, I'm not going to participate in it, unless that's accompanied by a resignation letter.
Well, two things. One, I really don't think going through Melania's closet is going to produce any smoking gun documents. But secondly, with regard to your lawful order, and a field officer tells a private Marine in Baghdad, I'll take it back there when we were there, to shoot the 6-year-old girl that's running towards this group of soldiers because she's a suicide bomber. The young man, the private, refuses to do so. The young girl runs up to the group, 5, 6, whatever, soldiers, detonates herself, and they're all dead. Now, should he be prosecuted because he did not follow a lawful order?
Yes.
And what would be the grounds for simply he was ordered to do something and he didn't follow it, kill a child. He was ordered to kill a child.
That was a lawfully issued order, and there weren't grounds to disobey it.
Well, how does the, when you say there weren't grounds to disobey it, how does the soldier in the field decide what is law, what are grounds to disobey an order, and what are not grounds to disobey an order?
There are things that are obvious. If that 6-year-old girl was standing against a wall somewhere or walking down the street and posed no imminent threat to them, buddy, you got to know that that's the difference, right? I mean, that's it right there.
The field officer had been in Iraq 3 times. He had a great deal of experience. This was a newbie right off the boat. Yeah. A 21-year-old grunt who just finished school.
Jim, would you do me a favor, buddy? I want to hop off real quick here. I want to try to honor Tracy with the last 40 seconds I can give you. Tracy, we're about to punch out, but I want to give you a chance to say your piece. Go ahead.
Hey, man, I just called to tell you about old Donald Trump taking communion with the evangelicals. You remember when he did that on TV in front of everybody?
Uh-huh.
You know, not everybody is a follower of their communion. You know, it says in the New Testament not to drink it to your own indignation. And if Donald Trump is tried to get in with the theology of the evangelical against these other denominations, you know, it's really going to bring a bad thing on him.
Tracy, this was the way to really punch out. Thank you for doing that. Callers today, you got to go back and listen to the podcast if you missed them. They did not disappoint, nor did you, the listener. Tomorrow, Billy and I will be back with much, much more on this as it develops. George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.